NFL Draft Extravaganza. Extravaganza. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
NFL Draft coverage presented by Four Peaks.
Our draft coverage started at 6 this morning, and we're going to ballpark that it ends around 8:30 or 9. That's right. About 13 hours of draft coverage here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station, in which 10 o'clock rolls around and we'll go live to Nashville from 10 to 2 with Bickley and Murata. And then at 2 o'clock, the event gets underway, in which you could be out there live at Four Peaks Brewery for the next part of Arizona Sports Draft Extravaganza, as Burns and Gambo will be there from 2 o'clock until the end of the first round. And Max Starks and Wolf are going to join them as well for all of our draft coverage. You want D-backs. They actually start in about 2.5 hours on ESPN 620. So there's a little game that Maloney has created, just for the three of us, in which we're going to learn about the draftable people for that are expected to go in the first round in a little deeper way. The word three technique will never be used.
Okay.
With the two words press coverage will never be used.
All right.
Has nothing to do with what they do on the field.
All right.
It's some facts, or maybe not so much facts, about players in the 2019 NFL draft.
Just say it, Douglas. Fact or false?
And I will say this, it's not just first round prospects.
Oh no, I didn't know that.
Wow. Yeah, so wow.
Obviously you changed the idea when I had it. Fact or false is a title invented by Maloney yesterday. I thought that was pretty ingenious, to be honest.
As opposed to true or false, it's now fact or false, because there were trademark concerns.
Alliteration.
Gotcha.
Cool. So, starting with, Dwayne Haskins loved math growing up and did an 8th grade science fair presentation on the aerodynamics of throwing a football, analyzing how one generates the highest velocity.
I actually heard that was true indeed. That's fact.
Wow. Maloney. You actually have studied Dwayne Haskins.
You ever seen the movie October Sky? It sounds like a ripoff from the movie. I'll say false.
Wolf was so confident, I admit that he talked me into it. I know about the Dwayne Haskins wanting to be an Ohio State quarterback, even though he's not from Ohio when he was like 10. But I'll go fact based on Wolf convincing me, which I'm scared of.
That was a fact.
Wow.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen.
Ron Wolfley, good info on your part.
This is called broadcast prep.
He finished in third in that science fair.
Oh, that's really?
Third?
Too bad.
Well, nice little detail.
It'll be like today. He'll be the third quarterback off the board. So there you go.
Boy, that's a mistake. Got to be number two.
Oh, no, he'll be third.
Oh, boy. Listen to Paul.
Michigan running back Caron Higdon spent last summer working as an intern for Blitz Prep, a company that helps former pro football players transition to new careers.
As a college player, he was an intern to learn about pro players transitioning.
That's why would it be called Blitz Prep?
Yeah.
Oh, that's true.
Not buying that. That's false.
Okay, I actually agree with those two, but I'm saying fact only because what's the point in agreeing with you? Because then I have no chance of being right more than you.
The contrarian does.
Yeah, so I'll say fact.
It's a fact.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
Even though I totally believed you guys.
Douglas is 2-0 right
Yeah,
now?
I guess
is that
I am.
What you're saying?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, but he's only 2-0 because he stole your first answer.
But admittedly, I copied off Wolf on the first one, and I just agreed with you but went against you on the second because you guys both agreed.
I'd rather be a legit 0-2 than a corrupt 1-2-0.
Well,
here we go.
Next thing you know, I'm going to fill out a bracket with BPI, Paul.
Right. That's right.
Oh, you're 0-2,
that's right.
Pauly.
That's right. Wolf,
metaphorically speaking.
We got an eye on you in case you're looking at BPI over there for help.
Maloney, you know what's next?
Devin White owns 7 horses. Ricky Bobby was his first, but the LSU linebacker's favorite is Daisy May.
Wait, he named a horse? Okay, now wait.
That's so false.
Come on now.
Devin White doesn't deal in that kind of hubris.
You know, since Wolf has loved Devin White from the beginning, I'm going to say fact just because Wolf likes Devin White and I want it to. I am speaking this into existence. I am willing him to own horses just so Wolf knows his favorite player in the draft has a horse named Ricky Bobby.
I'd say that's impugning the South right there, sweeping with a broad brush and making those accusations. So I'm going to say it's false.
It's true.
Yeah!
But he has 7 horses.
Come on!
Devin White Devin has White? Seven horses.
Devin, seven how does he horses? Own horses?
Seven horses.
What are they and paying kids at LSU? Daisy May? Oh, my goodness.
Did you say that? His favorite was Daisy May.
Daisy May.
Oh, okay.
Look at him. He's changing his
He's
draft.
He's my board. Favorite player in the draft, Devin White.
Was or I
mean,
is?
Minus right there. Minus.
During the 2017 offseason, USC inside linebacker Cameron Smith worked on a vineyard that specializes in Pinot Noir.
In Oregon? Where was it exactly? Okay, that's your epicenter for Pinot Noir. In the Willamette Valley. I'm going to say false because we can't have four truths in a row.
I'm going to say false as well. It's got to be false. It's not fact.
You know what?
It's false.
I was going to say false, but I'll do the same strategy since it worked the last time. Since both of you said false, I'll go fact.
Why couldn't I do four?
Oh, yeah. Come on. Is it fact?
It's true.
Yeah.
It's a fact. It's a fact.
Darn it all.
I mean, come on.
I've always been a three hitter, even though I never once batted third in high school.
Fact. Where's the ball?
This is what happens from 30 years in a newsroom. I'm such a skeptic. That's it. It works against me. Here we go.
Between his sophomore and junior seasons at Stanford, linebacker Bobby Okereke? Yeah, that's how you say it. Interned in the office of former Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice.
Okay, wait. He went to Stanford, okay. Right? Oh. I'll step up and go first. I forgot that he went to Stanford, and that's where Condoleezza Rice is. So I got to say fact. That seems easy with the Stanford connection.
Yeah.
Of course, you could have fooled me on that one easy, and I would have said that.
That sounds likely when you're talking about Stanford.
Yeah.
You know what? At some point, you had to throw a false in there.
So you're going false?
I'm going false.
Come on.
It's true.
Yeah.
Maloney.
Yeah. I'm like 6-0. Nice.
Okay. Ready?
You're supposed to have some balance
Bear,
here.
Bear, look up what Powerball's at. Come on. I'm on fire.
It's all fact. We just got facts. That's all we did.
Jonah Williams was the Gerber Baby photo contest winner in 2001 after his mother submitted a picture to the company's contest.
You're so false.
No,
it's not.
That's false.
How false.
You know what? It's beyond false.
I'm going to get ripped for this one. I'm going to say fact only because there's no way Maloney is that creative. Because if that's false, that means you made that up, and that's too good.
Okay. Give it to me, Maloney.
That's too good, so I'm going fact.
I'm that good.
That was false?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. All right.
There you go.
No
that was
way.
False. That's right.
Did you hear that right there? She said false, basically.
Oh, man. That was pretty good. That was a pretty good genius one. We got time for one more, Maloney.
Let me see here. I have a bunch of good ones.
All right.
So, that one got me. Man, I couldn't end undefeated.
Washington corner Byron Murphy is Mike Bibby's nephew.
Okay.
I actually know that. That's true.
Yeah, that's
I
fine.
Do know that.
Okay, that's true. All right.
Yeah.
All right, next. Throw in another one.
I got
Let's
that
go.
One right.
Make it tough.
Yeah, you zap on you, Baloney.
Was that fact, Baloney?
Yeah, it was a fact.
Okay.
Yeah, zap on you since you just burnt me on the other one.
Josh Jacobs competed in the 2009 National Spelling Bee at the age of 10.
Yeah, that's fact.
Just threw that. I'm going false.
No that's
way.
that's
well,
false.
Well, wait, everybody competes no in the spelling. That, you said the National Spelling
Bee? The National one.
No, okay. that's
I'm saying false.
I mean, no, that's false.
That's false.
It's false.
Yeah!
There you go.
Oh, you stabbed the dagger in and turned it.
I think, Wolf, you got two right, didn't you? Did you go like two for 10?
I think. Yeah.
All right. Good.
I use
Maloney, well
psychology.
Done. Man, how did I not get the Gerber baby right? That was pretty creative
if
by you,
If only
Maloney,
they created a BPI for fact or false, you might have had a chance, Wolf. So there you go.
Yeah, okay. Thank you, Paul. Right. Appreciate that.
That was
fact or false?
By the way, Doug, the Powerball is at 166 million right now.
166? Mm. I'll play your little game there. No.
Let me know when it gets up to 500 million.
I don't know why people are like that, but it makes a lot of sense. I totally agree with you, and even though I shouldn't. Coming up next, can Kyler Murray really change a franchise? Really? I mean, is that what we're doing here?
I mean, say fact. Say fact.
I kind of think it's false. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. NFL Draft Extravaganza.
Presented by Four Peaks.
When pick number 32 is made, you can still hear it here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. And if the Cardinals haven't traded back into the first round and they're on the clock at 33, Burns and Gambo, Wolf and Max will kind of hang out and give you a little bit of a preview of day two. second and third round, which comes up tomorrow. And as of right now, the Cardinals have the first pick today and tomorrow in the NFL draft. We'll see if that stands to stay the same on both days. Do they trade out of number one by the time 5 o'clock hits today? And if they don't, is there any chance they don't sit at 33 and they trade back into the first round and give up that pick? A lot of options, and we'll see if they stay where they are, the opportunities of trades. I read an interesting tweet from Mike Garofolo. He's an NFL.com reporter. And I believe this one a lot, and I still think teams are going to be interested. And what he said is there's a lot more teams that want to trade down than trade up.
Yeah.
And his reasoning is, no huge push for quarterbacks. And number two, after you get about pick four, everybody says this draft is unbelievable. It's deep, but maybe there's a slight plateau. So the guy you get at like eight isn't going to be that different than the guy at 18. So why stay up high? Because of that, he thinks the price to trade up is going down. And it might increase the idea of some team saying, wow, if I only have to give up that much, I will go trade up and get that
guy.
Yeah,
you know, there's a lot of supposition that goes on, right? There's a lot of takes about any draft that happens year to year. The fact of the matter is this, you have no idea how these guys are going to pan out. You have none. To me, when you actually put on a mouth guard and a color scheme that is a National Football League team and you go out and you play and you actually do something, then I think you can say things with certitude. But going into the draft, this happens every year. It always does. It always does. You have no idea who is going to pan out and who is not going to. You don't. There are no guarantees.
And you can say that the demand for the quarterbacks, it isn't there right now until they all get overdrafted when teams are on the clock.
Yeah. Oh.
That's true.
It historically, that happens. You know, the Christian Ponders of the world get overdrafted. The Jake Lockers of the world get overdrafted. You watch. It's going to happen with Drew Lock. I've seen that Chad Ruder guy in NFL.com has Drew Lock going number two. And then Daniel Jeremiah's final mock yesterday had Drew Lock going 30th. You talk about a wild card.
That's
where
true.
Is Drew Lock going? Where exactly is Daniel Jones going? How many reports are that link Daniel Jones to either the Giants or the Redskins? And if those guys are not there when the Redskins and the Giants are on the clock at 15 and 17, is that when they pull the trigger on a Josh Rosen? And by the way, on Good Morning Football on NFL Network this morning, Kyle Brandt, one of the hosts, he's wearing a T-shirt. You know what it reads? Free Rosen. He's wearing a T-shirt that reads Free Rosen, and that's his shtick this morning on set.
Listen, I love it. I got to tell you, Paul has been on the Kyler Murray bandwagon since around junior high for Kyler Murray. So right. I want to give Paul all the credit in the world for starting the Kyler.
The future of football.
But, Paul, yesterday, I don't even care if you love Kyler Murray. Yesterday has got to freak somebody out. How do you claim the NFL knew you weren't going to be there? Like, the NFL is seriously into the business of throwing its number one pick under the bus? Like, wouldn't the NFL do whatever it takes to protect you if you weren't scheduled to come to this event? And part of the deal, because the NFL pays for all of these players, you actually get nine to ten guests that the NFL pays to fly you to New York, Nashville, Dallas,
nine?
Philly. Yes, wherever you're going.
Oh, wow.
If they invite you, you get, I think it's 9 or 10 guests that they pay for your week in the draft city. And so part of the deal is you're going to be part of every media shoot, every event, such as this charitable event. So Kyler knew that was part of the deal. And Kent Summers of the Republic tweeted out something like he had another obligation. What do you mean you've got somewhere else to go? This is just weird to me. How do you know it's not part of who he is? Or is he being dragged by other people everywhere? And how do you know that's not going to stop?
I have a theory.
Okay.
Here we go. His agent is a little volatile. His agent doesn't mind mixing it up. Remember when he went on the air and he was refuting all those measurement claims before the combine about Kyler Murray?
Right.
He was very colorful in his language, this Eric Burkhardt guy. In fact, I think Kent tweeted out an email from Burkhardt explaining it, and it was a pretty defiant email. Well, if you remember a year ago, Baker Mayfield did what? He held his own draft party as the number one pick overall.
Right.
And I'm thinking he got paid handsomely for that. Kyler Murray's not doing that. Did the NFL lean on Team Kyler to attend the draft and not hold his own draft party? and maybe the agent is a little salty about it, and said, we're not going to participate in your reindeer games. We're not going to do every single event because our attendance here is enough.
You know, that may have been the case, Paulie, but boy, what a bad PR decision that is.
I'm not disagreeing with that.
That is a bad PR decision.
Or maybe it was just a clerical mix-up and he's flying in on the day and they didn't account for the morning event and they're flying in the afternoon. I have no idea. That's just a theory.
That's the worst thing. Can you imagine doing that? Actually, this kind of PR 24 hours before you're actually going to be drafted number one overall, possibly.
You're stocking food boxes for the needy, and you say, no, NFL,
it's a bad look.
Show you.
No doubt.
It's a bad look.
Here's the other thing I'll say. The competitive advantage the Cardinals have is Cliff Kingsbury's relationship over many years with Kyler and his family. If anybody knows the kid, knows the person, it's Cliff Kingsbury.
Yes. I mean, if I'm Michael Bidwill, aren't you getting nervous?
If they don't draft him, think about
that. That's telling.
Think about that.
That's a huge story right there.
If they don't draft Kyler Murray number one, think about that.
Because I realize a lot of people will be, if they don't draft Kyler Murray number one, a lot of you are going to laugh. A lot of you are going to, why has this world been hyping up Kyler Murray so long just to pass on him?
Because he's the bright shiny.
But Wolf, your point, and Paul, that's even bigger because no one will then turn and focus. They'll focus on how wrong so many people in the media were. They won't focus on that big question of, you've been chasing this man for 7 years. Why was Cliff Kingsbury either not listened to, or why did he back off his love of Kyler Murray? Because one of those two things would have to be the case.
Or you couldn't get fair compensation for Josh Rosen in a trade, and you got a little nervous about having those two quarterbacks in the same room.
And somebody offered you a killing on the number one pick overall.
That's what I'm hoping for.
That's what I'm hoping for right there. They stick with Josh Rosen, ladies and gentlemen, and they get a boatload at number one.
I am afraid that's not going to happen only because I feel like it would have happened by now. If I'm a GM, I want to know I've got the number one pick before 10 hours before I make the number one pick. I would have wanted to get that deal done at the beginning of the week. Doesn't mean it still won't happen, but I have the feeling it would have been done by now. If it was going to get done.
And Adam Schefter made the point this morning that if the Rosen deal was going to get done, it would have been done 2 weeks ago, so teams could have brought him in for their offseason programs so he could actually be in the room and learn the offense and get started with the rest. But you know what? They're still haggling. They're still haggling price. They're still negotiating compensation right now. And teams are trying to lowball the Cardinals. I firmly believe they think the Cardinals' leverage is compromised by the prospect of them taking Kyler Murray, and the Cardinals are telling them, no, we're taking nothing less than a first rounder.
I would. If you love Kyler Murray, and again, the reason why I am so reticent about this, I've been on the record, and I'm going to continue to say it because it's important. I feel so weird about this in talking about this because I wasn't in the room. I'm sorry. I have no idea who Kyler Murray is. I have no idea what his football acumen is. I have none. I have no idea about Josh Rosen either.
But
do
you feel good about Cliff Kingsbury's knowledge of Kyler Murray? Unlike many other draft prospects or other quarterbacks in this draft, Kingsbury's got to know what he has in Kyler Murray.
I think, Paulie, there's no doubt about that. I think you're right on that right there. But again, I want to know, how is Kyler Murray going to translate to the National Football League? And complex blitz packages in particular. That's what I want to know. How is he going to do that? Hey, Cliff Kingsbury, how's he going to do as well? You know, listen, we know he's a bright guy. There's no doubt about it. But he's got a lot to prove, I think. Everyone would agree on that. Everybody. A lot to prove. And so would Kyler Murray.
So who is the king speculation sifter? The guy that can look through it all and tell you what's fact and what's false? That's John Clayton. It's time for a guy that's been covering the NFL draft since before most of you were born is going to join us to tell us what's real. John Clayton, Doug and Wolf NFL Insider, next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
It's the NFL Draft Extravaganza.
Presented by Four Peaks.
98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station.
NFL Draft Extravaganza ends after pick 32. All the way through the first round, it's Doug and Wolf, Bickley and Murata live from Nashville, Burns and Gambo, Live today from the Four Peaks Brewery in Tempe for our Arizona Sports Draft Extravaganza. All brought to you by Four Peaks. Good morning. It's Doug and Wolf live in the Action Community Studios. And our own Doug and Wolf NFL insider John Clayton has just called in on the Coulter Automotive Group sports line. Jonathan, good morning. It's been too long. How is Pat and who is the Cardinals pick at number one?
It's great to be back. I miss you guys. In fact, I even lost my number. I couldn't even get on the ISPN line. So it's like, I feel bad about that. Pat's doing as well as she can be doing. And I think it's going to be Kyler Murray.
Okay.
You think it's going to be Kyler Murray right there? Do you think it should be Kyler Murray, Johnny?
If that's what the team wants, I think that's, you know, you got to go in a direction of what the team wants to do. And I think you can see with the way that Josh Rosen has kind of banged around the last month or so that, you know, if the idea is that they've got such a high grade on Kyler Murray, go with Kyler Murray and, you know, go with the offense that Cliff Kingsbury is comfortable with. And you know he's a great talent. And so if that's the case, go for it.
From what you're hearing when it relates to the Arizona Cardinals, is Kyler Murray the number one pick in the draft because he's the best player or because you signed Cliff Kingsbury?
No, I mean, again, this is the individual team, but, you know, you can probably say that in most teams, they're going to have five or six defensive players rated above Kyler Murray. And so, you know, Kyler could be either the fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, depending on what it is. And of course, you know, when you have a shorter quarterback like that, different teams are going to have different opinions. Like John Elway's not going to have him up there because he's not big on taking shorter quarterbacks. But you look at him athletically, you look at what he's able to do on the field, you know, all the skills in that, the fact that he was a first round baseball player, he's got the great arm. And now that, you know, thanks to Russell Wilson, you know, shorter quarterbacks can be in vogue. I mean, it worked well for Baker Mayfield last year in Cleveland. And so if that's the case, you know, he's not going to be top of a lot of boards. But again, if you're looking for a quarterback, then maybe he's going to be at the top of the board.
Johnny, do you have any hesitation whatsoever in regard to Kyler Murray and what happened yesterday? I mean, honestly, I know it's not going to totally change your mind in regard to the fact that he skipped a charitable event where the NFL at least thought he was going to be there. His agent says, no, they never were going to be there. There's some dispute there. But do you think that will have any bearing whatsoever on Kyler Murray?
No, I mean, it's still a matter of what the Arizona Cardinals think. And if they're comfortable with him, and you know that Cliff Kingsbury is going to be comfortable with him, then it doesn't change anything. But I think you can see that he's made some missteps. I mean, you know, he didn't have some good interviews at the Combine. You know, some of the things that, you know, he said hasn't gone over very well, all that well. I mean, stiffing the NFL, if that's the case, on a charity event, that doesn't go well. But because, you know, if you're going to be the top pick in the draft, there should be a little confusion as to what's going on. I mean, right. It's like you're number one.
Talking to John Clayton, the Doug and Wolf NFL insider, through the people that you talked to in preparation for the 2019 NFL draft, give me a number, give me a confidence level, however you want to put it, that the Arizona Cardinals will be drafting number one overall.
Oh, I'd say 98%.
Okay.
Wow.
That he's going to be drafting number one overall. You leave the 2% idea out there that maybe the Raiders try to trade up, but if the Raiders don't trade up, which I think is going to be unlikely, then they stay at number one.
So do you think there's going to be a lot of trades in this draft? Do you think there's going to be trades? Will we remember the 2019 draft as a draft that had a ton of trades?
First round, no. Maybe in this draft because you see, you know, particularly little runs on positions, and we have runs on positions like at the top of the second round. You know, there's going to be, you know, a little bit of continuation of a run on wide receivers. You know, for example, there's going to be a good group in the second round for safeties, and so when some positions run out, then there's going to be trades. So there may be the normal number of trades through the draft, but I think there's going to be a few less in the first round.
Speaking of trades, we in this town really love N'Keal Harry, the wide receiver out of Arizona State. And if everything's wonderful, he does not get drafted in the first round. And he is the first pick off the board tomorrow to the Arizona Cardinals. How likely of a scenario do you see that? Do you hear that there's people going to be wanting to trade back into the first round? And if they do, who is their target? Is it Harry? Is it somebody else?
No, because, I mean, when you really look at the wide receivers, a lot of them, you know, they're more second round than first. But what you can see happening is that, for example, you know, here's Seattle. They're at 21. if a defensive end, a pass rusher, doesn't drop down to them at 21, then they'll start trading back from 21 to try to pick out a third and a fourth and some other picks. But if that's the case, Harry could end up going to Seattle at 29. If not, he could end up going to the New England Patriots at 32. You know, what's going to happen is that the receivers are all kind of lumped into the same type of rating, you know, high second round, low first round ratings. And you can see in the first four picks, there's probably going to be maybe three wide receivers taken. Arizona taking one, maybe Indy taking one. The fourth pick in the second round, San Francisco taking one. And so that's where, you know, you want to jump ahead. You want to try to get the guy that you want. But again, these guys are so big, so fast, you know, with the exception of Marquise Brown, that a lot of them have the same type of bodies and a lot of similar skills.
Johnny, if the Cardinals draft Kyler Murray, as we all suppose, right, what do you think they're going to do with Josh Rosen?
Try to trade him. I mean, and
do you think they'll be able to?
They don't have to be in a rush. I mean, because if they don't get the value, then, they can hold on to them. It may be uncomfortable. The quarterback room may not be the best place to go into. But, it's like, obviously they can't wait for a first round pick. Maybe there's a second round pick out there. And so much of this in this draft is going to depend on where the quarterbacks go. Like, for example, I still think there's a chance the Giants could use a second round pick to take them because they're sitting at 95. If they don't get the quarterback of their choice and they want Daniel Jones, I could see everybody else pretty much offering third round picks. And if the third round pick isn't right, then they just hold on to him.
What's the biggest surprise you're expecting today?
Anything done by the Oakland Raiders and John Gruden. It's like, it's all over the place, because they kicked all the scouts out of the room. They're sitting there. You know, they want to try to be creative and all that stuff. The rumor starts going around right now that, maybe they're going to take Dwayne Haskins at 4 instead of a top defensive player. I have my mock draft, the most recent one for the Washington Post, and just because of a couple little glitches as far as some teams not taking quarterbacks, I have Oakland looking at Haskins at 24. Now, he'll probably go to Washington at 15. There's some talk that Washington's going to try to trade up to maybe get him at 8 or 9. That's a possibility. But, whatever Oakland does, I think, is going to be fascinating.
Johnny, what about Seattle? What do you think Seattle is going to do?
Well, they've got to get pass rush because now they have no pass rush whatsoever after the Frank Clark trade. But what I can see them doing is, making 1, 2, maybe 3 trade backs, get 4 draft choices, and then come back and, take a good Jalen Ferguson maybe in the second round. If positioned at 29 and can move back far enough, I think that they could stay at 29 and take Harry. I think that's a possibility. But their big thing right now is that they want draft choices and they need pass rush.
Is this draft good enough that the Cardinals can close the gap that's occurred now in the rest of the NFC West?
Probably not. I mean, it's a good draft, but it's not the greatest one. It's probably one of the better ones in the last several years. I think they can cut it a little bit, but I mean, look what the gap is. I mean, Seattle's at 10 wins. You've got, a Ram team that went to the Super Bowl. San Francisco should be at 8 or 9. I think they can cut some of the distance, but maybe not all the distance.
John, we miss you. Good to talk to you, buddy.
Hey, thank you.
Say hello to Pat, Johnny.
There's John Clayton, NFL, our own Doug and Wolf NFL insider, joining us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. That's Coulter, Cadillac, Buick, GMC, Nissan, and Infiniti. Just part of everything we're doing today of our NFL Draft Extravaganza, brought to you by Four Peaks. We got Dave Pasch coming up at 8 o'clock. We got Rudy Carpenter for an hour to talk ASU and NFL quarterbacks. And we've got a little bit of interesting news that has just popped while we were talking to John. That puts multiple scenarios in play as the draft nears, I'm told by Cardinals sources. We'll tell you what that means next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
NFL Draft coverage presented by Four Peaks.
The NFL Draft Extravaganza, 98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station.
Surprise!
The Diamondbacks are 14-11.
That is
surprise.
That is a surprise. You sounded just like the 2 weeks woman, Arnold Schwarzenegger, when you yelled surprise. Here is my surprise. It's not from me. It's the bottom line in a long tweet from Michael Silver.
Hey. Retweet this. Presented by Sanderson Ford.
Michael Silver is a long, used to be a Yahoo guy, now an NFL.com writer. And he's a weird dude because honestly, it's like he's dormant for a while and then he always shocks you with something. Okay? Really? I don't know how else to explain
it. He was 3 years ahead of me in college. He was the man
really?
In student media back in the day, Michael Silver.
Michael Silver.
Wow.
He was the man. No, he wouldn't pay me any attention. I was a freshman.
Oh, Paul. So,
yeah. I did that. Give me the Heisman on campus. You know, now he's a big shot national guy.
Here's his tweet today. The first part of it, okay, yeah, you can see it. The second part, how do you not focus on it for a second? First part, according to several sources familiar with the Cardinals' plans, the team ran an inclusive redraft process that encouraged blunt evaluations from coaches and scouts and emerged with a mindset that three players stand above the rest: Bosa, Williams, Kyler. Now, the thing that's funny about that is the inclusive redraft process encouraged blunt evaluations from coaches and scouts. I have to ask, why are you doing that? Why wouldn't you do that anyway? Why would you, like, would you tell people, no, I don't want your blunt evaluation. Tone it down a little bit.
From all accounts, every single Cardinals draft meeting in that war room encourages blunt evaluations and discourse.
So exactly. And not only that, what's the redraft process?
Yeah, I don't know what a redraft is. So, the takeaway, small takeaway, if there is a table, if there's a plateau for them, pod one is Bosa, Q, and Kyler.
See, I dismissed this open hand just because of that first tweet.
Now, here's the second one, though, that I admit is the one that grabbed me. This puts multiple scenarios in play as the start of the draft nears, and I'm told by Cardinals sources that people could be surprised by the outcome.
Anything could happen. Just watch us.
There you go right there, Bally. Anything could happen.
We're crazy over here. We'll do anything. We hold all the Cardinals. The Cardinals do.
And this is exactly what the Arizona Cardinals have got to do, ladies and gentlemen, right? They have got to continue to create this obfuscation. This is exactly what they want people to do. They want people guessing, like Michael Silver. They want everybody. They want general managers guessing as to what it is they're really going to do. And I think they've done an excellent job playing that close to the vest right now, because to get the best deal, they got to make you believe, and they got to make general managers believe that they'll do any deal. Period. And that's what Michael Silver just tweeted out.
That's the funny part about a surprise, because it does seem like that is, I do agree with him, that does sound like it's coming straight from a Cardinal source, because that means too much talk about Kyler Murray. We need people to think that we might do something crazy. Join Burns and Gamble along with Wolf. Max Starks today from Four Peaks Brewery in Tempe for our Arizona Sports Draft Extravaganza. No word why Four Peaks is sponsoring the Draft Extravaganza and not bringing beer into the Auction Community Studios right now. The party kicks off at 2 o'clock and will take you through the entire first round of the draft. Enjoy food and drink specials courtesy of Four Peaks all night long, along with your chance to win Arizona Cardinals tickets plus autographed Cardinals gear. Visit the events page at arizonasports.com for details. Are you or are you not the best wide receiver in the draft? That is the question to N'Keal Harry.
I believe so. I'm just not the type to go around just boasting it and just claiming I'm the best wide receiver. That's just not how I was raised. But I truly do believe I am.
It's time to throw Burns and Gambo under the bus. Totally. Burnsy should bring back Rip a Coworker, because now I'm bringing up Rip a Coworker.
All right.
And that is the Burns and Gambo show. They had N'Keal Harry on yesterday.
Right.
And granted, from a radio standpoint, it was good radio. Good job. Good job. A little pat on the back, Burnsy. Nice. Nice.
Here comes the butt.
But are we not in the business of trying to keep N'Keal Harry in town? Have we not started hashtag Harry and Larry?
Yeah.
What are you doing asking him questions about what he's heard, where he's going, just to set it up that he won't be there?
The teams I feel most confident about in the first round would definitely be the Baltimore Ravens. I'm very confident about the Oakland Raiders, the Philadelphia Eagles, the Indianapolis Colts, and the Green Bay Packers at 30.
Okay. I'm buying the Packers at 30, by the way.
It's interesting you bring up the Packers right there, because this is just a young kid right here that's very, very confident about his abilities and where he's going to go. But I would say see Aaron Rodgers speaking up the Green Bay Packers and where Aaron Rodgers thought he was going to go.
I don't like this, because, Bernsey, what you've done is you've set up him to go somewhere else.
I'm not 100% sure, but, I mean, I can see it. I can see it.
He said he'll be shocked if he's there past 33 because he feels good about the Cardinals and his workout with them. That means someone's trading up, Paul, to get in front of the Cardinals.
And it might happen. You're right. Because that went national. That quote went national. It was tweeted out. You can't tell me every other team did not see that headline. It made news. There's no doubt about it. So now teams file that away. Oh, okay. That's what they're telling N'Keal Harry. And they're at 33. So if we really want them, for example, the Raiders have 24 and 27. And obviously they traded away Amari Cooper.
Sure.
Their second biggest need beyond pass rusher, because they only had 13 sacks as an entire team, is receiver. So you could most definitely see N'Keal Harry going to the Raiders at 24 or 27. No
I just hope there's no run on receivers, because that's what will kill N'Keal. If it's just the Raiders choosing one late, you're okay. N'Keal Harry, number 33, is a Cardinal. If there's a run, the DK Metcalfs of the world, AJ, you start throwing guys out there, boom, now you know N'Keal won't be there at 33.
N'Keal just needs to learn that. He listed five teams before the Cardinals that he's, quote, confident in drafting him. Well, how many guys have been told by how many teams that you're their guy? And or you're told nothing. There's very little in between. Either you're our guy and we love you, or you hear nothing, and the teams that are smart don't show their hand, including don't tell the prospect himself if you're in love with him, because you know he's going to tell someone, and eventually it might get around. Teams are that secretive about their draft board.
You know, it's really interesting because, of course, we heard Larry Fitzgerald come out and actually say that somebody in the Cardinals organization comped N'Keal Harry to Anquan Boldin. You've got my attention now. You want to comp him out to Anquan Boldin? The Quan.
Yeah. This was Fitz from Birds and Gambo.
Well, I love the young man. I heard he had a fantastic workout on Saturday. The Cardinals worked him out, and he looked explosive. I heard somebody in the building say they reminded him a lot of Anquan Boldin with the way how strong he is to the catch and the way he's able to run routes and his physical presence that he brings. And
yeah, can you imagine that right there, honestly, right? Anquan Boldin. And I think it's probably a good comp right here, except I do believe that N'Keal Harry is a little bit more explosive, maybe, coming out of his break than Anquan. But now, listen, Anquan Boldin was an excellent route runner, and he had such strong hands. He was the classic, he's open when he's covered guy. Yeah. Throw him the ball anyways, because Anquan's coming down with it.
Did you say N'Keal Harry?
Yes.
Mel Kiper Jr.'s player profile.
Size and physicality. He is the power forward. He is the guy, when it looks like the cornerbacks has the coverage of N'Keal Harry, he'll still make the play. He'll go up and high point the football. Very few corners can match up with the size and the length that N'Keal Harry brings to that wide receiver position. Did a great job. Now Herm Edwards raves about this kid.
You can't play enough of that. You cannot play enough.
Okay.
Mel Kiper Jr.
This is Mel Kiper.
Is that what you mean?
Ripping it off on N'Keal Harry right there, right? Interestingly enough, Anquan Boldin drafted in the second round as well.
Oh.
Yeah, baby. Here we go. Can you imagine that right there? Larry Fitzgerald. You have to wonder what Larry's thinking. Think about this. Oh, the comp to Anquan Boldin, and he's drafted maybe in the second round, and now all of a sudden he's going to come full circle, get the opportunity to play with an Anquan Boldin comp.
You know, there's one person in the world that everybody likes and everybody trusts, and he's a secret insider who never wants to let everybody know just how much he knows. Dave Pasch.
Il Bahadl.
Yeah, no one calls him that.
Yeah, I do.
I see.
Il Bahadl.
Dave Pasch, secret NFL insider.
The Bird.
Next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.